We are having sunrise service next Sunday morning. If you have never been to a sunrise service, you need to come. It's always a blessing. Brother Kevin Hager and Ms. Kathy and them is going to be here with us, and they'll be singing. And 7 o'clock, a sunrise service, Easter Sunday morning. And then our regular Sunday school will be at 10. Some people go eat breakfast. Some just hang around after, wait on Sunday school. Some people go back home. You're welcome to stay here and just wait on the morning service and just give a whole big day to the Lord next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, the day we set aside for that. So don't forget that. And then the youth rally. Y'all don't let nothing or nobody stop you or hinder you from being at the youth rally. Now, you can expect the devil to fight you here in the next couple of weeks. You can expect it. Some crazy something is going to happen. One of your kin folks is going to call, and they're going to need you real bad. And, you know where that trick comes from. Or something's going to come up. You and your wife will get in a fight. Or you and your kids will have problems. It's going to happen. The devil's going to fight you. And it's usually in a way that you don't expect it. Because he's got a million tricks. And you say, well, I know what's going to happen. Yeah, it'll be the other thing. The devil's smart. But my philosophy is, it don't matter what it is, ignore it and go on. That's what I've always tried to believe and preach. And that way, you got it covered. Now this morning, I had planned on doing something else, but I woke up this morning, and like a typewriter in my head, it went, so I'm going to give it to you, and I'm sure you hope it's that quick. But by the time I got through thinking about it, it's a little bit more than that. So turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 3 this morning. And once again, while you're turning there, don't forget. Yep, just a little bit, brother. Don't forget now this evening. Everybody be here in the choir. Don't forget, 6 o'clock, special service tonight. And then meetings after that. 1 week from tomorrow is when we go to the fairground to work. That's when we need weed eaters, lawnmowers, cleaning supplies, and stuff like that. We're going to be having to make a trip to Spruce Pine to get over 500 chairs. We've been moving the stuff out of here, getting our PA system set up, everything, on that Monday, 1 week from tomorrow. So everybody be planning on pitching in, doing your part, and it won't be so much of a burden on a few. Now, here's the thought that I woke up with this morning. Bible bees. And I think when I was in Florida the other day, this man gave me a jar of honey. He said, you like honey? And I said, yep. And he gave me a jar of honey. And I said, I heard that bees was going extinct. Have y'all heard that? Honeybees are becoming extinct. And they're trying to figure out why. Some kind of man caused it, I reckon. And they say that in a few years, at the rate they're going, there ain't going to be none if they don't something done. Save the bees. And I thought there's some bees in the Bible that are also going extinct. And those are the ones that I want to preach about this morning, because we better keep them in our churches and in our lives, because they are becoming extinct. The first one is Colossians chapter 3, and look at verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's the first one. Be thankful. That's becoming extinct in churches today. Being thankful. That's a Bible be. Be thankful. We should be thankful for everything God does for us. I have never in my lifetime saw people as ungrateful and unthankful as people are now. I mean, people, God has been so good to us. I've been thinking about it a lot. Just being thankful for being saved. If the Lord never done nothing else for you but save you from hell, you should be thankful every minute of your life. You should never say, poor me, I'm having it so hard, and my life is just, everybody else is out having fun, and I'm just stuck here in this house, or this job, and with this. Oh, listen, you know what you need, don't you? And you're going to get it, some of you, if you ain't real careful. You need a good beating. And you'll get it if you're not real careful. We ought to be thankful that God has just saved us. If you're saved from hell, you ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful for our salvation. Listen, in my deepest, darkest hour, in the hours when I thought that nothing was ever going to be good again, deep down inside, something said, at least you're not going to hell. At least we're not going to hell. I don't care how bad the doctor's report is. I don't care how bad the weather gets. It doesn't matter how high gas goes. It doesn't matter how bad the family situation is. At least we're not going to hell. And brother, we can stand anything down here for a few years, and then it's heaven, brother, forever and ever and ever and ever. I preach about it all the time when I'm off preaching. There's a big old blistering, burning fire down there, and I'm not going, by the grace of God, I'm not going. Hallelujah, hallelujah, ha na nini na ha cha cha. And the interpretation of that is give $50 when service is over this morning. We talked about that in Sunday. I'm interpreting my tongues there. Look at here. I'm telling you, I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. I'm not going to hell. I want to be thankful this morning that I'm not going to hell. I want to be thankful this morning for my health. Be thankful just for my health. Well, I don't guess none of us has perfect health, but if you are able to get up and walk in here this morning, you ought to be thankful for your health. Amen? You really should. You ought to be thankful. You're a lot better off than some people. We was going down to the camp meeting the other night. There's 14 of us went, two vehicles. And we all packed in there like sardines, and I told all the young people with me, we went to Winston-Salem. And you can see the Baptist Hospital up there. You've seen as you go through Winston-Salem on alternate Interstate 40 there. And I told them kids, I said, you know what? Right over there in that big old building, there's room after room after room after room of little boys and girls, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old with cancer, with leukemia. And those little kids are laying in there. I've been in there. Those little kids are laying in there, and they've lost all their hair because of chemotherapy. And they have tubes running in their nose and in their arms. And they're laying there like this. And their mama is over there in a lounge chair. And their daddy will come and relieve her. And they'll take turns staying with it. And there's no hope of that child getting better outside of a miracle of God. 8 and 9 years old. While some of you had your kids at softball practice yesterday and baseball, they are sitting down there in Winston-Salem watching their little child. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Are y'all listening to me? Everybody listen? You ain't no better than them people. I ain't no better than them. If God's blessed you with health, hey, if your kids are healthy this morning, you ought to raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord, that my kids are healthy. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healthy. Listen, I know God's been good to me. I've had my battles. I've had my share of trouble. But I'm going to tell you one thing. God's been good to me. I don't have one pain in my body this morning. I feel good. I may drop dead in a heart attack tomorrow evening. But I'll tell you one thing. Brother, God's been good to me. I've been blessed. I've been blessed. And God's been good to you. Some of you have never really spent much time in the hospital. Some of you have never really spent... I watched my sister die with cancer. And then we watched my mother die here just 3 weeks ago. And you saw her go down, down, down. That'll make you appreciate feeling good. That'll make you appreciate feeling good. All you that's got these little kids in here this morning, these little bitty kids, a lot of people can't see them laugh and run. They can't run out in the yard. They're in wheelchairs. They're paraplegic. They have something wrong. And them people ain't no meaner than we are. It's just God in His mercy and God in His goodness has let your kids be healthy. And you better remember where it come from. You better remember that God gave it to them and be thankful and serve Him. Don't get bratty and full of the devil and quit being thankful. Be thankful for your health. You ought to be thankful for your church.
You know just what we've had here this morning. Just how much church we've had here this morning. A lot of churches ain't felt what we felt in here this morning in 20 years. Some of them never. I mean, some of them just as dead as 4 o'clock. And the ones that do have a lot of activity is manufactured, just made up something, you know. I have to get up here and say, all right, everybody, you know, look up at your neighbor and all that kind of stuff. Right, they have to make somebody praise the Lord. What we had here this morning was spontaneous. It wasn't planned. It wasn't in the program where saints just get happy and start praising the Lord. We ought to thank God for our church. We're not perfect. We're a long way from it. I'll tell you something. God has been good to Shining Light Baptist Church. I'm telling you. I mean, I know we got a family and a half here, buddy. I'm telling you. I mean, I don't see how God sometimes does anything for it. I mean, I look at some of y'all. You look at me. One of the guys told me one time. He said, "Brother Danny, I'm so sorry. Will you even have me for a member?" I said, "I tell you what. You have me for a preacher?" He said, "I sure will." I said, "We got a deal." Put it there. Amen. I tell you something, brother. We don't claim to be nothing special. We don't claim to be nothing great. But I'll tell you one thing. God has been good to us. God has been good to us. I'm thankful for my church this morning. I'm thankful for my health this morning. I'm thankful for my salvation this morning. I'm telling you this morning, brother. Well, I'm thankful for everything God's done for us. We ought to be thankful. Instead of going out there somewhere and say, "Shoot, this food ain't no good." You ought to be thankful you live in America where you got a choice and you can eat something every day in your life. Amen. Lord have mercy. We get out there and say, "Go ride around. Where you want to eat?" "Where you want a steakhouse?" "No, it don't sound good." "Fish camp?" "Nah, we had that last night." "Pizza?" "Had that last night too." "Mexican?" "I'm beginning to figure out what your problem is." "Chinese, Japanese, everything, Mongolian and everything else in the last 2 days." And you say, "I just don't know what I want. Nothing sounds good." You know what you are? You're a spoiled American brat that your belly ain't been empty since you was 3 days old, and you don't even know what it feels like to be hungry. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. We ought to thank God that He's been good to us by letting us live in a country where we can eat. I can't even get you to fast. Some of you won't even fast 1 day. I can't beg you. You say, "I ain't fasting. Let everybody else fast." Well, okay. Yeah, okay. I'm telling you, I appreciate your help. I really do. You won't even fast. "I ain't fasting. That's too hard." Listen, God's been good to you. God's blessed you. We ought to be thankful and be willing to sacrifice for Him just a little bit. Say amen. Amen. I'll show you another B, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, the second Bible B. Bible B, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And here in the Bible it said this. Revelation 2:10, Bible said this. He said this, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil will cast some of you into prison during the tribulation, that you shall be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be," there it is, "thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." The second Bible B is be faithful. Be faithful. It's becoming extinct in our day and time. We ought to be faithful. We ought to be faithful. You know, being faithful is something that it's rare nowadays. I've been pastoring all my adult life, and I learned over the years in Marion and here too. There's some people that if I say, "Hey, I'll meet you out here Saturday morning or Friday night, and we're going to cut these weeds or something like that," I don't even have to worry about them. They'll be there. And it's usually older folks. This younger generation is so wishy-washy, they'd forget their head if it wasn't tied onto their body. And they have no sense of faithfulness whatsoever. We ought to be faithful. People ought to be able to count on you. When you tell them you'll be somewhere or get a job done, then they ought to know that you'll do it. Amen? You ought to know that you'll do the job that you promised them to do. If I tell Jeremy, "I'm going to come over there and mow your grass," then by the help of the Lord, I ought to come over there and do it. Not like, "Well, I found something else I want to do." We ought to be faithful. We ought to be faithful. Be faithful, ladies and gentlemen. Be faithful. It is becoming extinct. You ought to be faithful to your family. Your family ought to count on you. My daddy, when I was growing up, I knew my daddy was going to work every day. My daddy got up and went to work. I never remember one time wondering if we was going to have anything to eat. I never even thought like that. That never even entered our mind. Daddy went to work when he's sick. Daddy went to work, walked in the snow, walked. He didn't have a car. Walked in snow that deep. I mean, from Highfield on the other side of Marion all the way to Clinchfield. Miles and walked to work. I never ever worried if we was going to have anything to eat. My mom was faithful to our family. My mom was faithful. You know what you better be? You better be faithful to your family. Your family needs you. You're a part of that family. If you're a kid living at home, you ought to be faithful to your parents. Your parents ought not to have to worry about you. If you're one of these little brats where your parents have to sneak in there and what, or you'll sneak out the window, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you're one of these little brats that your mama has to check everything you do because you tell her you're going home with so-and-so and you really are going home with so-and-so so you can go with so-and-so and be with so-and-so, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be faithful to your family. Your parents ought to be able to trust you a little bit. If you're a wife, your family ought to depend on you and be able to trust you. I know kids that every time they go home, afraid their mama's going to be gone again. She leaves every 6 months and comes back, and then leaves again, and then comes back, and then leaves again, and comes back. Listen, brother, we've about forgot what it's like. Now, I'm not talking about if there's abuse or stuff like that, you ought to be gone. I'm not saying you should live. But I'm talking about where you just want to get wild and run around for a while. You ought to be faithful to your family. I talked to a preacher yesterday. He said a preacher friend of mine in another state, wife decided she wanted to get wild. I don't know what happens to them, but when they get at a certain age, 30, sometimes before, 32, 34, they look in the mirror one day and think, I still got it, but not much. So if I'm ever going to have any fun, I better do it now. And then they get on, watch TV, and they watch them stupid, the KKKs, Kim, Chloe, and whore, whatever their name is. And they watch the KKKs, and then they get full of demons, and the next thing you know, they say, I want to just go out. I'm going to tell you what you better do. Hey, God knows your number. God knows where you live. God knows. Listen. When the doctor says you got cancer, when the doctor says, when there's a car wreck, and all that, don't say, well, I just don't understand why God's been good. You better be faithful. Amen. If you're a man, your wife ought to know that you're coming home after work unless you've got to go somewhere else. You ought to be faithful to your family. I know I'm plowing pretty deep here this morning, but I tell you, brother, we're living in a day when people walk out and go to the store and not come back. I'm telling you, and just forget their family. I like what that old couple said one time. I mean, they stuck it out. They were about 90 years old, been married about 60 years, and they were both in a rest home, and somebody came in there one time and they said, Lord have mercy, how did y'all live together all these years? I mean, I know it must have been hard. I know there must have been time, and everybody knows this. There's times when you're married when you wish you hadn't them or you hate their guts or something like that. That's, you don't stay together because you have a feeling. You stay together because it's right. And God, and I'm not talking about being abused. I'm not talking about somebody beating you. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about, listen, if you're in a good marriage and God's blessed you with a husband or a good wife, you ought to stay with it. But anyway, they're sitting there and they're about 90 years old, and one of them said, boy, how did you stay in love with her all these years? And he looked down at her and he said, she's tried and true. And she said, huh? He said, I said you was tried and true. She said, huh? He said, I said you was tried and true. She looked back at him and said, well, I'm tired of you too. That might be why they got along so good. I don't know. She couldn't hear. They said the perfect marriage is a deaf husband and a blind wife. Think about that. That's a perfect marriage. But anyway, brother, I tell you what, Lord, say it's a crazy time we're living in. It's a crazy time we're living in. I had somebody tell me, they said, Brother Danny, they said, living this single life is ridiculous because there's temptations everywhere I go and the devil's throwing a man or whatever in my pathway. And I tell you, Brother Danny, it's tough. But he said, I'm scared to get married because everybody's breaking up and getting divorced. Brother, we're living in a time when people don't know the word of faithfulness. If you're going through a hard time in your marriage, ask God to help you, deal with it, and keep going. Once again, I am not talking about a place where a person is abusive to you. I'm not even referring to that. I'm talking about just getting a wild hair and decide you want to do something else. Amen. Second Bible B. Number 3, Philippians chapter 4. Let me show you this right quick. Hurry. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 is the third Bible B. And it said this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? You say, Brother Danny, we ain't supposed to be careful. I always tell my kids, be careful. Well, you got to understand Bible terminology. In the King James Bible, in this context, that word careful means care, to care a lot for. We would say worry. We would say don't worry about stuff. Careful. Remember he said that Martha was careful about many things. What the Lord meant was we care too much. We worry too much. You know what the third Bible B is? Don't worry so much. I know Christians that have worried themselves to a frazzle, is what Mom said. People say, just worry. Mom said there's a worry wart. Mom, people that they worry and 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 worry. That Bible said, be careful for nothing. Listen, we're no different from sinners. If we sat around at the table at work and everybody thought, what are we going to do? 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 I'm scared. I'm worried. Listen, we're supposed to say, my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and I believe I own at least one. Amen. Like Timmy Hargrave and them saying, that's right. And I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Amen. I mean, we ought to just say, hey, our God's still able to supply our needs. Listen, gas is $4.30 a gallon, they say, out west, and it's going to $5. You might as well just get ready for it. That's the handwriting on the wall. It looks like that's what's going to happen. You say, Brother Danny, what in the world are we going to do? I don't know, but I do know one thing. The God that made this world, and the God that saved my soul, and the God that... you say, what if it gets so much we can't drive? We'll do what they've done for 6,000 years before everybody started driving, I reckon. You'll look sweet on the seat of a bicycle belt for two. Amen. I don't know. There ain't no telling what we'll have to do. But I know one thing. God ain't gone broke. And the Lord, He'll put the angels on half rations before He lets His young'uns starve to death. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. He's fed us through hard times before. He'll take care of us again. Amen. Bible bees, be careful for nothing. You know what's wrong? You say, well, Brother Danny, we're running out of stuff and food and shortage. Listen, the environmentalist people, I don't mean this disrespectful, they're crazy. Amen. God, you know we got enough trees to do us till Jesus comes back. Amen. Do you know that anything that's extinct, it's all right?
Yeah.
Do you miss dinosaurs? I mean, I don't know anybody sits here and saying, boy, I really miss them. Well, Lord, I'm glad they ain't none. I'd hate to walk out there this morning and there'd be something big as this church out there in the parking lot. Thank God they're gone. Amen. We don't need no dinosaurs. And God's got it figured out so that everything that gets extinct, it's time for it to be extinct. And there's enough trees to last till Jesus comes. And there's enough air to last till Jesus comes. See, their problem is they don't believe Jesus is coming. They think, well, we have to preserve this and cut back on this and go green and eat organic and don't touch. Well, Lord, you're going to just be a piece of celery and you're going to die anyway. Something's going to kill you. You know what we believe? We believe God's going to take care of us. Yeah. Careful for nothing. I'll show you the last one and I'm done. Revelation chapter 2, once again. Revelation chapter 2. Fourth Bible bee. Fourth and last Bible bee. You come back tonight, we've got something different. Bible bee. And this one is, you better get ready for the Lord to come and be watchful. Revelation 2:2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Nevertheless, he said in verse 4, he said, you've left your first love. Verse 5, remember from whence you're fallen and repent and do the first works and watch for him. Watch for him. Watch for him. Watch for him. Look at chapter 3 now. Chapter 3 and verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things. We're to watch for the coming of the Lord. Are you waiting for him this morning? Is your life ready to meet the Lord? Look, people, I don't mean to fuss at y'all. I know the world's tempting. It's all wild and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil's painting you a pretty picture. And then there's hell to pay on the other side of it. The devil's painting you a pretty picture. I told one of the teenagers this morning, the devil paints you a pretty picture. And then there's hell to pay on the other side. The world has a lot to offer to each of us today. They say just do your own thing. It's your life anyway. But God has told us plainly, if we want to be like Him, to be a separate people, if we're going to live for Him. The stage is set. The Mayan calendar, brother, is being fulfilled. They're saying the end of the world next year. I don't believe that. The Lord might come today. But either way you look at it, the stage is set for some strange and big things to happen soon. They're saying that by the year 2017, everybody have to have computer chips in the, under their skin. You say, it'll never happen. But if you listen to the news lately, it's talking more and more and more. One world government, one world currency. Well, it's coming faster than you. And all that's got to happen to push it through is an emergency. And there's going to be an emergency. The Bible said, be watchful. Be watchful. And strengthen the things that are ready to die. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are these Bible bees becoming extinct in your life? You know what preaching does? Preaching just sort of slaps you back in line a little bit. You go out there in the world all week and the world looks good and you get out of line, we smack you back in line. That's what I'm doing here this morning. I listen to preaching all the time on the radio to smack me in line. And preaching smacks you in line. Now you can either let it or you can say, nope. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's the biggest mistake you'll ever make in your life. Let's stand by our head for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one's talking. Nobody's looking around. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed now. These Bible bees are becoming extinct. Will you let the Lord speak to you? Will you? If God's speaking to you right now, if the Lord came this evening, would you be ready to meet Him? She's playing softly this morning. Nobody's walking out. Nobody's moving. You let God speak to your heart this morning. You let God speak to your heart.